Should be recording.
Okay. Well, first let's call this meeting to order. Of course, I want to just say that I'm happy that we have this great turnout. Fortunately, that we didn't get a good turnout at the last meeting because of, you know, life, I guess. People have commitments, but I'm happy that, you know, you took time to be here tonight. First, would we like to introduce the new member? I think so.
Yes.
We have a new member who's going to be replacing Ron Lawson. Mr. Alan Nguyen, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Alan Nguyen, retired, used to work in Loudoun County for the Department of Transportation. But now I'm retired and sitting here as representative for Broadline. I have a long background in transit operations, transit management, equally divided over 50 years with the public and private sector. I was assistant general manager of the Mass Transit Administration in Maryland, and also headed up all the statewide local operator transit systems in Maryland. Then I got into consulting and did the same thing, but traveled all around the country doing that. And then I retired from the Department of Transportation and Capital Infrastructure here at the county before transit transferred over to the general services, and retired during COVID, which was weird. I used to sit at the dining room table, and the next day I got up and there was this little thing on the chandelier that said happy retirement. So I always did, and that was it after 50 years. So here I am, and I'm glad, I'm honored that Supervisor Glass asked me to be a member, and I look forward to attending.
Well, we are very honored to have you in our midst, and we look forward to your inputs and your assistance in helping us do our mission here.
Well, thank you.
Just want to say, well, Ron is not here, right? But we appreciate all his dedication to the board, and we wish him all the best moving forward.
And especially his willingness to continue even after his term had officially expired. Mm-hmm. And then we also want to recognize that Susie Wilson will be departing us, and she's been...
Still haven't signed her exit.
I need to get that stamped. Well, we will see what happens. I don't have travel orders yet, but inshallah.
Do you have anything to say?
It's been a real privilege for the last, 2 years? It's gone by very quickly. Y'all have put up with my wide-eyed enthusiasm for public transit, especially the commuter bus. I hear talk of there's at least one other person who has said that they were going to apply for the long-haul commuter representative. So hopefully that will actually happen. But this has been an absolute privilege. I feel like it's such a wonderful thing to get to be part of making things better for people around the county, for everyone around the county. I am sad to leave. I'm happy to be, I've been in one spot for 7 years, which I think is the longest I've been in any spot since I was 18 years old. So the feet are definitely itchy. Given that there is 50 miles of roadway overall in Greenland, I'm pretty sure that, but they have mass transit. for the 20,000 people in the capital. And just think of me when you see Greenland in the headlines.
Well, I appreciate all the assistance that you provided, all the guidance, all the inputs that you have done. And wish you all the best. Please send us a postcard.
I'll do my best not to get eaten by polar bears.
And make sure you give whoever is taking over from you a good turnover.
That is the point.
Appreciate that. Do we have any more introductions?
We do have a guest, and so we can introduce him tonight, right now, or wait till the presentation.
Well, you would like to introduce him?
I'm fine with whatever.
Okay, let's just quick introduction, and then we can, when we do that.
All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Kevin Potter. I'm the planning director for a nonprofit organization by the name of NovaTrack. Some of you may have heard of us already, but just in case you haven't, I'm not going to go into the whole spiel because I do have a presentation later, but we want to build a rail with trail along the WNOD trail is the basis of our idea. And I'm here to present that idea tonight.
All right. Looking forward to that. Okay. Anybody to do public? No. We can move forward to that. No public comments tonight. Organization business matters. Officers election for chair and vice chair. We didn't get an opportunity to do it at the last scheduled meeting. So would you like to move forward to that?
Sure. I've been moving forward to that. Okay, the two officer positions that we have are chair, which is currently held by Ray. And that role is to run the meeting, basically. The second position is vice chair, which is currently held by Susie. And they serve as backup to the chair, and they can add in some more things. I copy them on communication that I have about comments that come in, changes in person membership within this body, and any other official business items that come in. So I wouldn't say that it's a ton of additional obligation, but you would be responsible for operating the meeting. The vice chair would fill into that person, the chair were absent. And in the case that both of those people were absent, then we would need somebody to volunteer to operate. Ray, is there anything else you want to add about your duties or?
No.
Okay.
The annual report.
Yes. Yeah, the annual report is prepared by this body. It's presented to the Board of Supervisors. In the past, you all have worked together to do that, but it's been the responsibility of the chair and the vice chair to finalize that document and present it to the Board of Supervisors.
Yep. So.
So with that, there is no limitation on how many terms you can serve as chair or vice chair. So with that, I will open the floor to nominations.
I would like to nominate Ray Delpesh to continue as chair.
Okay.
I will support.
Ray, do you accept?
I will.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Hearing none. We will close the nominations for chair and I'll call for a vote. Since we don't have anybody online, we can just do a simple yay or nay. So we'll do the yays for Ray as chair. Anybody opposed? Okay, the ayes have. All right, next up will be vice chair. So are there nominations for vice chair?
I would like to nominate Vlad.
Vlad, okay.
Give you a second.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Chair. Do you accept the nomination?
Yeah.
Boy.
Okay, any other nominations for vice chair?
We have a very distinguished new member, and although he's new to this body, I feel like you should be well accustomed to like boardrooms and stuff, right? So I would like to nominate, and I forgot your name.
Alan.
Alan, I would like to nominate Alan.
Okay.
Appreciate that. I think as a new member, I would like to be a participant, as opposed to an office holder immediately. I'm not opposed, let's say in the next year.
Okay.
But right now, I would like to function as a member, but appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Understood.
Any other nominations for chair, vice chair? Okay. Having one nomination for Vlad as vice chair, we'll call for the vote. Ayes, ayes for vice chair Vlad.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, hearing none, welcome as vice chair. Clean this up real quick before I move on. Let's see. Okay, very good. We can move on to the
second part. Before we move on, thank you again for your confidence in me taking care of this board. And I look forward to continuing my efforts and with your support. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. Can we have an approval of the November 13th tab business meeting minutes that was submitted out in the email? Do we have any objections, any updates, any changes? Can we move forward and accept? We have a
nomination for approval of minutes.
Absolutely.
Second.
Nomination has been made and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Okay.
Can we have an approval of the regular meeting schedule through January 2026 that was submitted out? Any objections, any suggestions of a vision change?
Did we have one around the 4th of July? Did I see that somewhere?
It would be the second Wednesday. And so I think it falls on the 9th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's nice. July 9th.
Mm-hmm. I'll draw whatever I was going to say. I was thinking that we're really something I belong to that like July 3rd or something like that. And we need to change because nobody's going to be around, but forget what I said. The 9th is far enough away from the 4th. We don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Right. Is it possible to quickly remind, like, when we plan it for?
The dates are. The remaining dates would be July 9th. Again, these are the second Wednesday of the month, September 10th, November 12th, and January 14th, which does fall on the Orthodox New Year.
And the locations?
The locations would be here in this office.
Okay.
So do we have any objections to the dates? Hearing none, do I have a nomination to accept?
I move to accept.
Second. Nomination is made and seconded. All in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All opposed? One opposed. All right. Now we can listen to Mr. Porter.
All right.
Mr. Porter, would you please grace us with your presentation?
I do have printouts. Hope I made enough. I'll go ahead and pass these one. Actually, just take one. So my name's Kevin. I'm planning director at Nova Track. Usually, I would not be the one speaking here, but it's graduation day for some of our members from college. So our executive director and some of our other members are graduating from college. So I'm speaking today. So why do we want to use the Washington Old Dominion Trail for transit? Primary reason is cost. The WNOD Trail, the right of way is 100 feet wide in most areas west of East Falls Church. And that presents an opportunity to use half of that, about half of that, for a transit line from East Falls Church all the way up to Percival. And putting the trail would stay. We don't want to get rid of the trail. That's not our goal. We like the trail. We think the trail is great. The region thinks the trail is great. We don't want to get rid of the trail. But we want a rail with trail solution going out to Percival. The benefits of this. Speed. The trail predates most of the development around here. It's been around. It used to be a rail line, all dating back to the early 1800s. So it predates a lot of the development here. And so the path is very straight. And so the trains would be able to reach speed, averaging higher than the top speed of metro in certain areas. Our calculations, 45 minutes to DC from Leesburg, or 1 hour from Percival to DC. And there is a quote from the NVTC straight from March 3rd, 1965, staff report for the NVTC commissioners that said that the commission determined that the WNOD railroad was necessary for a transit system. Obviously, they did not get their way, unfortunately, but we can still change that. On the back of the first page, there's some population density graphs that show that because of the stations, these are closer to historic downtowns, population density is average is higher. I will note on this graph, it's a little out of date. We were still settling on station locations, so there were two Leesburg that we were considering. We have since decided on the Leesburg 1, I believe, as a potential station location. So this line would operate in conjunction with the Silver Line. The Silver Line is great. It serves the airport, it serves Tyson's, but that makes it slow because it's got to divert from the median of the toll road to the airport and go through Tyson's. Tyson's is like 4 stops. That adds a lot of time. And so our line would not serve the airport or Tyson's, mainly because of cost. Diverting from the trail right of way would add significant cost, and serving Dulles or Tyson's would add time as well. And time is one thing we're trying to minimize. On the second page, why are we using East Falls Church as a terminus? Intense urbanization past east of East Falls Church makes rail costly and unfeasible. The trail ends before it even reaches the rail line that goes into DC that Amtrak and VRE use. We would love to do that. And a lot of people say that if a project like this were to happen, that would need to be one of the conditions, is that it goes straight to DC, not the transfer at East Falls Church. We don't really see that happening, at least in the near term. But we determined that this is a good enough alternative that it would be beneficial at the cost. And the other reason is that WMATA actually studied an aerial station, bi-level station design when they were considering junctions, when they were building out the Silver Line. One of the station designs was an aerial junction. We plan to use that for this line. It would go up above the orange and silver lines and meet up at the East Falls Church station, and passengers could transfer to East Orange or Silver Line.
I'm sorry, where would the junction be?
So there's a picture of the specific page of the study on the East Falls Church terminus. It's on the second page. I probably should have numbered these. I apologize.
It's okay. You can hold it up.
It looks like this.
Okay.
Top one right there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, that's a excerpt screenshot of the specific page of the study where they put the study, the aerial station design. They did not go with that, and that left the door open for us to come in and see that as a potential design for our line for a transfer to the Silver and Orange lines. So there's a lot of challenges with this. A lot of people think this would disrupt the trail. There are plenty of places where a rail with trail exists. A few examples, Purple Line north of us in Maryland, which is under construction, part of that right of way, they put it next to a pre-existing trail, which they upgraded in addition to building the Purple Line. And SMART in California, I don't know the exact name of that transit agency. I just know that it's a rail line that has a trail that goes next to it. And there are others as well, plenty of others in the United States. Too close to homes and businesses. As mentioned, comparable systems operate with less right of way. The picture to the right of that is actually of the South Shoreline's recent upgrade they did to a part of their right of way. And you can see it goes pretty much straight through a middle of a town. Mm-hmm. It's kind of insane. And we plan on using electric multiple units on this line to keep noise to a bare minimum. We don't want diesel trains. We don't want diesel trains, going through these quiet, nice neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And potentially polluting and making noise.
But they would be full size vehicles, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Too expensive, as mentioned, by using the Washington Old Dominion Trail. We're trying to keep costs down. We understand that transit, it's not very well funded. And so that's one of our objectives by using the Washington Old Dominion Trail. And we do provide some images of comparable systems on the back of that page. The Ethan Allen Express up in Burlington, Vermont, you can see that's a 3-track main line, and there's a trail next to it. And we've got parcel data from Loudoun County's GeoHub showing the boundaries of the WNOD trail, specifically that section of the trail is over by Carmel. And that bottom image is a diagram put together by our director showing a potential design for the trail. I'll hold it up here as well, this bottom picture. So we do have an alternatives analysis on the final page. It's this chart at the top, nicely colorful. It shows differences of cost between no build, improved bus service, or Silver Line extension to Leesburg. And this was put together by our director as well. The bus service Loudoun County does operate currently Metro Connection buses. The bus service is an option that could be combined with other options. Silver Line Extension to Leesburg, it's the slowest, but it would provide one ride to and from DC. You wouldn't have to transfer at East Falls Church. But there's no right of way, and it would cost quite high compared to our option of using the rail with trail, having putting the rail beside the WNOU trail. Benefits to the region businesses, downtowns, you wouldn't need as much parking or car reliant infrastructure. This would increase pedestrian friendliness and density. And there'll be more customers for small and local businesses, but Leesburg is a perfect example. It's a nice historic downtown, but it's lacking in transit access. And so is Percyville and other historic downtowns along the trail. Improved accessibility and convenience. There'd be increased accessibility for those who do not or cannot operate a motor vehicle. And stations would be this line, obviously. The trail runs quite close to some of these downtowns, Leesburg and Percyville. And the stations would be quite close to these downtowns, making it so that you can walk straight to the downtown from the station without needing to wait for a bus or any alternative transit. With less parking and vehicle infrastructure, more businesses and residential housing could be built per square mile. That increases tax revenue, land value increases. More potential customers would be coming from the rail line to visit and shop at local businesses from out of town. Say, you know, if you live in DC and you want to go to Leesburg for the weekend. And there'd be new job opportunities as well, both with the line itself and increased development around the stations. And we got a quote down there at the bottom, every $1 invested in public transportation generates $5 in economic returns to the American Public Transportation Association. So our next steps right now, we're trying to get a study commissioned through the Department of Rail and Public Transit, Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transit. We actually just had, I was looking at our email inbox. We had an email from David Reed. He has reached out to, we've reached out to a bunch of Congress people and state delegates, and we're in conversation with a lot of pretty high up people. David Reed, Sue Haas, we've been in conversation with him, we've been in conversation with Noble Parks, and we also have a lot of supporters. It's right there on our website. We do have a website as well. But we are trying to get a study commissioned, and David Reed actually said that the DRPT would be willing to commit to a study, but there's other transit projects in the region, and transit, as I said, mentioned earlier, it's not very well funded. So we're going to have to be balanced out with other transit projects in the region. Basically, so what I'm asking for from the Transit Advisory Board is whether you guys would be willing to join on as a supporter of our project. Support is not financial. That's an important asterisk. We're all kind of just doing this as volunteer work right now. We're not asking for any money, donations, whatever. We just asking if you'd like to be listed on our website and if we can use your name in correspondence with other potential supporters. And that's potential, but yeah. I apologize if this was a little, I'm not used to public speaking.
Good question. So you, I mean, who is going to own and operate this railway?
That's what the study would figure out, hopefully. We don't know, potentially Metro Rail, the VRE. That's one of the things we're trying to figure out right now is who exactly would operate this.
What is the genesis of this? Who is feeding this idea? You're here tonight, and is the genesis, is the birth within your department or your agency, or is it? Is it from an outside interest that wants to do something private?
This is just within our agency or organization.
So this is a transportation planning idea?
Yes.
With one set.
Yep, our director is actually going to college for urban and public transportation.
That's great.
I have a question. So how would this compete with the commuter bus?
That's a great question. So obviously, I know that I'm a Loudoun County resident. I know the commuter buses are a very popular option to get into DC.
One stop, no transfers in about 45 minutes from Leesburg to even with stopping at Dulles Transit Center. So just to give that sort of context.
Yep. So this isn't competing with the commuter buses. It is commuter oriented, but it would operate at other hours of the day and run back and forth between East Falls Church and Percival. Other times of the day that the commuter bus would typically not operate.
No, I mean, I would love to see rail back in this area. I would love to see it. I'm a little concerned about places like on where it crosses King Street in downtown Leesburg. I'm not sure that that 100 feet is, I think the 100 feet includes Town Branch, so.
The 100 feet is in most areas. There are areas where it's a little thinner. We think we can still fit in the trail and at least one track rail line through there. And with the frequencies we want to run, this would be an express service to the Silver Line.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be as high frequency as the Silver Line.
Like you say, it's express service, but you missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Those are possible major locations. The study will tell us what's possible, what's not.
Oh, so you list their possible locations, but you don't envision that many?
No.
How does it interact with the use of the hyperbike trail?
The hyperbike trail, I'm talking the AW and OD.
A person gets off of the train, your idea. Did they have to cross the hiker trail to go somewhere?
It depends on the side they would get off, but yes, they would have to cross the hiker bike trail, the WNOD trail, because the trail would still be there. That's one of our goals, is to have the trail remain.
I've got a lot of things that I can say, but there's certain institutional things that come to mind just from my background experience doing what you've done.
My background is not a
transportation. You've got a nice concept, and it's a concept that has proven to work other places in the country. There's no reason that it couldn't work here. To make a statement that it could work here is much, 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 much too early, even thinking that. There's some institutional agreements that might be that Loudoun County, and I don't know, we don't know how it's financed or anything, might have an agreement with WMATA not to have anything that competes in rail with WMATA. There might also be agreements. I'm going into this. It's all in my head. Agreements with the compact between different states that if anything that is rail, that WMATA has to operate it right into that thing in Chicago. My feeling is the concepts are great. I think there's a lot of safety issues. There's the utility issue. What you're speaking of is a rail line that's a line haul system. Metro is not line haul. It's a land use driven transit system. Line haul is very efficient because that's why commuter bus is so successful. It takes many to one.
Mm-hmm.
or one too many. My just blank statement is there's a lot of questions that need to be formulated and then answers to those questions before you can possibly go to a next step. And the last thing I'll say is institutionally, to go to VDRPT, asking them to see if you get federal funding or some kind of funding, now something that goes through Leesburg within Loudoun County, then Percival, usually the governments that pay that are part of VDRPT, can't say it right. There's a certain order in which things are done. So the county would have to agree to want to support something like this, and that would probably go a very long way with the VDRPT, which way they would go with something like this.
Is that the VDRPT? Is that the
Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transit?
Okay.
Yeah.
And because there was some sort of was Chairperson Randall on the regional transit talking about bringing all of the regional transit together, but I can't remember.
Right, I know, I can't.
Yeah, I know. Swiss cheese. But I can't.
I think that's backed by WMATA.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the DMV Go?
Yes, that thing. Yes. So I'd just really like to say it's a really exciting concept, but I agree that it's still very, it is the outlines of the concept. It's really interesting, but there needs to be a lot more legwork.
Mm-hmm.
And research and you know, about figuring out why someone would ride the rail instead of, okay, I mean, I know the commuter bus is always deemed to be under threat, but it, on the other hand, it is, gets me to work in 45 minutes, so that's hard to. I like trains though. Man, I like trains.
In DC, because it takes me way longer than 45 minutes. I go to the east side.
Need that express money.
You talk about it as a express service, right? But also you show here population around each station, right? And you talk about these downtowns. And so like, these two concepts are kind of at odds, considered, right? It's either express or it helps downtowns, depending on both, right? And given that it goes through all the downtowns, right? Given it goes through like dense populated areas, I would honestly love to see the tram line because it's smaller, right? It's quieter. Ooh, it really feels
tram by.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really fits the kind of like neighborhood aesthetics, right?
Yeah.
It helps a lot with safety because, like you say, it would move faster than metro, right? It is a gigantic hazard.
Yeah.
Right. And
very well said.
Right. It was just like if it is basically a tram that utilizes, right? Mm-hmm. Then a driver can always brake and stop, right? And like you don't need to have this, you know, big fences, like like you don't need to spend so much time and money preventing people from getting into this, right? Plus voltage, all that stuff, right? I mean, metro is like
in these types of recreational use, shared right of way, what usually is on the other side, if there is a fence, is a tram, is a light rail line, a streetcar,
right?
Essentially, and a streetcar. If you did look at a streetcar, there is no way that it would make you would lose what you're proposing to do the speed. A streetcar in an urban area like in New Orleans, you can walk faster than that streetcar, but there is that's what is compatible with a bike trail and so forth. A commuter line, essentially, it's what they said, a commuter line, EMUs, that's really heavy locomotive stuff.
I very much agree with what you're saying.
I think like you show here, right, this design, right? I mean, I'm not familiar with the MHPC in Indiana. I cannot imagine that this is a very fast train. It's just like, I mean, it doesn't look to me as a very fast train. Yeah, like I understand that you saw here like noise barriers and stuff. I have like a lot of both from like money perspective and it simply will be very hard sell to people who live nearby.
Yeah. I think we're getting too deep into it. We're stressing ourselves. We're stressing ourselves out too much right now, because this is just a conceptual plan that I'm hearing you presenting, right?
So this is still have concept, to, but this is actually the best feedback we've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, you still have to go through. So you still have to go through all your accreditation and and your studies and stuff like that. I think when you do get those studies done, all you know, you. I's been dotted and T's been crossed. We can bring it back to us because we can't make that decision. We have to still take it up to higher authority to even get on board and become, what do you call it, a partner. I don't think that we are in any position right now to even come on as a partner.
And that is, that is completely fine.
I hope I'm not.
Because this has been phenomenal. The feedback here has been great.
Have you gotten any feedback from the Leesburg Town Council?
So we actually haven't met with the Leesburg Town Council. We have met with Hamilton Town Council, and we want to meet. I think we have a meeting soon with Percival.
Okay.
And maybe potentially Herndon. I think we're in the process of scheduling Herndon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, think that nothing ever happens.
I agree that. Oh, God.
Please.
I mean, I don't know if anybody else have any questions or inputs?
I have. I just, a great concept. I just think I echo what some of the other members have stated, that if you go back and do more research and maybe some benchmark studying, also, the public actually want it, right? Sometimes it's a great concept, but we don't know if there's a want for it or really a need. Mm-hmm. And so to do those studies to make sure that the customers actually want it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be encompassed with your study that you're going to be planning to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
I'm sorry, were you?
The feasibility study.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's a lot, like we have a lot of greenery around here, mm-hmm. surveys and environmental issues going to be popping up.
And some people feel like Leesburg and Percival and probably even Hamilton are big enough as it is. So just be ready for that kind of backlash as well.
We've seen a little bit of backlash already, you know, taking a trail and putting a rail line. That's not exactly, mm-hmm. It's not going to be popular anywhere.
Or maybe in your study and you know, getting out to the community, have a piece in there. But environmental, that's huge in Long County.
Oh, yeah. The feasibility study going to hit that.
Do we have a rail that goes up? Has there ever been a rail that goes up to Point of Rocks? could we do that? Like straight north?
Point of Rocks. Station, I know that.
Yeah.
The
Route 15 corridor, that's what I'm saying. Let's get people off.
I know you're getting a little off topic, but for you, Shenandoah Valley Rail, I think they're doing a rail with trail project. I don't know if it goes to Point of Rocks, but it definitely goes up the Shenandoah Valley.
And you know, Route 15 is just such a nightmare. So
off topic though.
Yeah, entirely. Sorry to do
this. This has been absolutely phenomenal feedback.
Yeah, and sorry to again, I absolutely love that you want to put society to point to better use, right? This is, I mean, I think that's a kind of the gist of your project, right? Is that like there is this right of way, there are met transportation needs, like why don't we use at least that kind of theory? And I realize that you're early in the discovery phase and all that. And so, kudos to you for stuck in that, right, and working and thinking.
It wasn't me who started it.
When I say you, I mean you're nonprofit, right? One of the concepts, right, that I learned by reading two books, honestly, two books, that's all I have, is that, like, it has to come, like, from demand, right? And while induced demand is a thing, it's not as easy to induce demand than to satisfy existing demand, right? And for public transit, density drives use.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, your eastern part of the corridor, right, is probably where it makes most sense. Right, versus if you start going out west, right, there are just like not probably like as many customers, and again,
ridership.
Your past, your concept of stress, right, is really expensive and less feasible than your kind of like slower options, even if you have like bus rapid transit here, which is rapid by design, not by speed, right? Much cheaper. You can put hybrid or LNG or whatever buses, and it becomes kind of like a, you know, cheaper alternative. Just an idea, but again, kudos. I love that piece.
You definitely don't want to squash anything. One question, how is Hamilton? How's been the response there?
So they were, like you guys, very questionable, and but they at least, they actually passed a resolution to at least get listed on the website as a supporter, and they're on that.
Yeah, no.
And I'm glad you guys mentioned the alternatives, light rail plus rapid transit. I think I've seen some email conversations going back and forth between our director and some Congress people of alternatives such as light rail to be put on the corridor. So who knows, that might become a possibility instead of a heavy rail line, but the door is open for that.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just have one. And it's not about the technical aspects. I'm not sure what organization you're representing.
Novatrack.
It's in the last page.
Okay.
It's on the
front website.
It's an acronym above on the front page.
Oh,
so basically, we went from rail to trail, and now we're going back to rail.
Rail and trail.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming over.
No problem. Great feedback.
Very informative. Thanks again. And you feel free to stick around if you choose.
I'll stick around. All right. I like transit. Okay. I'm actually a Lyon County resident. I've been to this meeting before.
Okay.
I thought you looked familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Scott is not here, but his better half is.
Scott will be playing.
Yeah, Scott, I like that a little better than his better half.
Please delete for the minutes.
Today's episode will be played the role of Scott.
Well, Ray's going to get in trouble with Scott.
All right, so I'm just going to, you know, touch on, and, you know, forgive me for being a little rusty. I haven't had the pleasure of your presence in a while. But I understand you guys met, and Sarah just told me this, your last formal meeting was in November, but you did have one that you didn't have a quorum in March.
And a discussion
in March.
Yes.
So a lot's gone on since then. As you know, unless you've been under a rock, you know there's been a lot going on in the region. And if you had a chance to look at the graphs that were part of the packet, you've seen particularly our commuter bus ridership really take off in the month of March. It's probably a surprise to everyone that the current administration has done more for public transit in this region than, you know, quite a few prior administrations, but be that as it may, or being whatever it is, our ridership is up quite a bit. On the commuter side, in order to meet that, we had a started into that period, kind of take what we took a, and we advocated for the board to take a prudent and patient approach. Just because everything was so in flux. I mean, while our ridership shot up very quickly and people were immediately calling and saying, we need more buses, we're standing, et cetera, which we absolutely understand. I'm sure you enjoyed that.
I've been attacked. I've been attacked. Why are buses so calm?
We can tell you why they're full, but, you know, and it, you know, it was, and the big question for us was, what's next? You know, okay, everybody back to the office. And if you listen to the news, it was come back, it might have been come back to the office and get a pink slip, you know, so we really didn't know what we had to deal with. So we really advocated a patient approach, which the board was amenable to that idea until finally enough phones rang, I guess. And we had a plan in the back pocket. So on May 5th, I think, was that first Monday? We put in place 2 more morning commuter trips and 2 afternoon commuter trips. And those numbers were based upon really kind of what resources we had right at hand. Fortunately, we did make some, I'm going to call it brilliant decisions a year or so ago when it became at that time very obvious that we had 15 more coaches than we needed because of the downturn in ridership. In normal process, those buses would have gone to the auction block almost immediately. And the decision was made, you know, let's just hang on, because even a year ago, there were conversations, you know, the mayor of DC was beating on the previous administration to bring workers back to the DC, you know, core. So fortunately, that decision was made. So we had the rolling stock, which can typically be the long pole in the tent of trying to put service on the street. But then the other big resource is drivers, and our contractor was, you know, basically able to tell us they could support, you know, essentially 2 more full-time positions, without having, you know, they had the drivers available to support those 2 morning and 2 PM trips. So those rides went into effect, 11 days ago, 9 days ago. And they are starting to do the job that first. For those of you who are really familiar with the schedule, the first 881 that leaves, that starts at 3 o'clock. I didn't look at that super closely today, but when I have been looking, it has not been carrying standees. So the one trip we put in place was at 3:15, and it goes to Dulles, Leesburg, and Hamilton. The whole point of that was to try and pull people off the 3 o'clock. As well as pull them off of the 3:30, which were both experienced standee loads. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you what the second PM trip was, which I'm completely baffled that I can't.
One goes to Dulles Transit, and the other one goes to Southgate.
It is an Eastgate bus, yeah. So it's, I think it's a 681. That's what I was thinking, because they're getting pretty full. Also starting to see more life out of the Crystal City and Arlington area. So as far as future additional trips, we'll see. You know, it all comes down to, it's really easy to meet demonstrated demand. It's a lot harder to meet theoretical demand. You know, one of the areas we've gotten a lot of inquiries about is the Navy Yard. We used to run service to the Navy Yard. One of the challenges in all this we've had is, where is the federal workforce? You know, where have they moved? DOT is now down in the Navy Yard area. So I think, because you weren't there before, right? Wasn't that recent? A few years ago. Okay.
We've been there.
This is the Navy Yard, right?
We've been there.
Has it always been there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, I thought
before that.
It's La Front Plaza, but they moved there like 5 years ago.
Okay, so probably right in the midst of the pandemic or shortly after the start.
Shut before the pandemic.
Just before it. And it sounded a little familiar when the people were talking about it a little more now. But yeah, so that movement, I don't think we fully felt it pre-pandemic before we really scaled back service. So that's kind of an unknown. All the indicators are there that there should be demand there, but, you know, starting up a whole new route, we're just gonna have to see how that goes. As far as the immediate future for commuter, I'm actually was working today on retiming all the commuter trips, because with the return to office and more riders on our buses. There are also more drivers on the roads. So, I hate to say it, the 45 minutes to the west side of the city probably isn't going to be the truth. You know, it probably isn't really the truth now. The mornings actually didn't need too much adjustment. But the afternoons, there were afternoon trips that needed as much as 15 minutes added to them to be realistic. So that will go into effect July 1. I'm working on getting those changes done now. So that's the immediate future. Interestingly enough, if you also looked at our ridership, you see that the local service is also up. And these graphs with the lead time on us getting meeting stuff together ended in March. But since then, obviously, April has come to a close. And if I remember correctly, every day in the month of April, if these graphs open, these charts, these spreadsheets open so I could look at them.
Glasses.
Yeah. No, I guess it's in May. So for a while there, 2,000 riders a day was a fairly aspirational number for us. And in the month of May, every weekday, we have been over 2,000 riders on the local fixed route. So that has also been, I haven't had a chance to dive into it very deeply, but when I've done kind of a cursory look at it, it looks like that's also being impacted by the return to office. And a lot of the Silver Line connecting routes are showing significant increase. Now, does that mean people are falling out of the windows? They're not. And there are some routes that are still really haven't had any impact, but there's definitely some impact on a lot of routes. The other highlight since you guys last were together is we started the weekend service, the expanded Saturday and the extremely expanded Sunday service on the local routes. We started that April 1. And for a bit of comparison, prior to that starting, Saturdays were typically running in the 400s in terms of ridership. Sundays were generally not over 100 riders. And as soon as we started in April, our Saturdays jumped into the 600s and our Sundays jumped into the 400s, so quadrupled. And here in May, we are still running, well, we've only had 2 weekends so far, but yeah, same thing, 700, 600 on Saturdays, 400, high 400s on Sundays. So I haven't really sat down yet to look at the productivity numbers you'll hear us talk about, like passengers per revenue hour, things like that, to see how those numbers compare to some of our other services. But to essentially triple and quadruple your ridership, we're going to call that a pretty good start. So we're pretty happy with that. So hopefully that's providing some benefit to folks in the county who really need transit. We imagine that's who's really using those buses, or the folks who are transit dependent. So we think that's going in the right direction. So,
Stephen, one quick question on that. Was that just for the legacy routes for the local bus?
Yes, the weekend service was basically all of our pre-Silver Line routes. So you'll hear us talking about the 2-digit routes or the legacy routes. So the 54 was already 7 days a week, but the 55, 56, 57 in Leesburg, the 70 that goes from Leesburg to Sterling, the 62, which runs in Ashburn, 80, 81, and 82 in Sterling. And then one Silver Line route, the 322, which was already running on Saturdays, we added to when we added the Sunday service. So yeah, that's basically all the legacy routes. So yeah, we've been really pleased with that. So any questions on those updates?
I have a question. Uh-huh. On the commuter route, because I work in Northeast.
Gotcha.
I just want to know, is there any potential possibility to bring those, like one express bus back to the east side?
That is potential, yes. Okay. And it all depends upon how the ridership goes right now. And the ridership numbers now are not quite enough to start splitting out routes. But I mean, I don't know how long you've been on. Well, obviously we're on a pre-pandemic, because you know about this. I mean, that's exactly the thing we were really focusing on. I I always tell this, and you probably have heard me say this before, but literally in March, early March of 2019. That's about where we were. I mean, literally, Sarah Scott and I were sitting at tables, you know, working on taking more full city routes, breaking them into east and west routes for exactly that purpose, and then the world ended. So that's where we were. So we certainly would love to get back to that, and it's all going to be ridership driven.
Okay.
And of course, then there's the argument of, well, if you do it, make it a better trip, do you drive more ridership? And
yeah, it's that balance though, right? Because I now drive more than I catch the bus, only because I think my commute on the bus from the time I leave home, I park at the Leesburg lot and those kind of things, like getting on the 5:30 bus. I don't get to H&R Capital until like 7, right? 6:59. Right. So it's like a long, so either I drive and it takes me 45 minutes from door to door.
Right.
Or it takes me. And so I would just remember being on the express bus. It was like, it was a breeze because you don't have to go through Northwest. And so.
And that's, you know, one of the things I'm want to explore in reality would be to see if we could actually kill two birds with one stone. That would be to maybe combine the Navy Yard with the east side of the city. And see if, I mean, I literally, is there a path we can follow to achieve that? But for that very purpose, try and speed up the east side trip. And that's literally when we were working on it in 2020, that was a complete imbalance between west side ridership and east side ridership. You know, west side was way ahead of east.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, we really wonder if it wasn't the quality of, you know, when I say quality, you know, the whole, the timeliness and everything else, to see if, you know, if we did split it up, make it a better ride, would that east side ridership really start to grow as well? So, so there is potential, there is a philosophical agreement. It's just having the justification, you know, to be able to. And of course, the whole environment has changed with Silver Line here now. There's every time we talk about commuter service, there's always going to be the question of, well, why not Silver Line? So that's going to be a constant conversation. That's not going to change anytime soon, but we just have to work to overcome it.
Okay. Compliment, not competition.
Depends upon who you ask.
I know.
Do you have any numbers on the Silver Line as far as the parking structures, like people driving to park there? And then
I do not off the top of my head, but I will say this, because the person who's in charge of that parking program now is in this office and now reports to Scott. So he sits right across from me, and I know that they've hit their highest occupancies they've ever had. So and he had a percentage, he said they hit for the first time, and I don't remember that it was like 50 or 70 or something like, but they've hit highest number at Ashburn, but don't quote me on any. I know he threw out a number that they've never had. So it's definitely up as well. Definitely up.
Do we have any updates on our pilot program that we are looking at doing?
Sarah, you want to, or you want me?
Which
I say we've got two of them.
Microtransit.
Yeah,
the microtransit. So the plan is for a July 1 start, and our project schedule is on time. The plan is for the microtransit service to run Monday through Friday, 7 to 7. We are working through the process now of setting up the basically the algorithms that will drive the whole thing, working with our vendor. We've pretty much identified all the virtual bus stops that will be used. I don't know how much you guys have been briefed on this, on how microtransit works, but you know, people will be able to request trips and then they'll be directed to a virtual stop. So it won't come to wherever they're standing, like an Uber. They'll be told, you know, go down the block, stand at the corner, walk and don't walk, and you know, the bus will be there rest, you know, with an estimated time. It'll be in the town of Leesburg, pretty much the service area covered by the four Leesburg routes. We are going to leave those routes running, and then see if there is a shift. And if, you know, microtransit reigns supreme and the fixed routes ridership, you know, in the town dwindles, then, you know, microtransit success, and we're going to see about continuing it beyond the pilot stage. If it, you know, if it doesn't move anyone off those buses, then we're not going to pull those buses out from underneath the people. So we'll have to see how it progresses.
So is there going to be a cost involved in the trial?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not talking for the riders.
Oh, no. It'll be free, just like the fixed routes are.
Okay, and then it's going to be run off an app or something like that?
Yeah, so people have, let's see, definitely the app. Sarah, were we talking about, will they have the option to call in? I'm pretty sure they will.
I'm not.
Okay, yeah, there was a call in.
What about somebody who doesn't have a phone, broke their phone, lost their phone, what do we do?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was the opportunity to call for bookings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just looking at some of these parameters. We're allowing immediate bookings with up to about a 20-minute wait and I think 2 or 3 day advance booking. So, which actually is funny, we weren't really thinking in terms of advanced bookings. We were really thinking of it in terms of, I want to go now.
Good idea.
But one of the things that the vendor talked about was that if you want people to rely on it for everything, which would include getting to work, they want to make sure they've got their ride to work, not now, but tomorrow and the day after. So quite honestly, that's a concept in microtransit we hadn't really thought about. We really thought about the, hey, I'm here and I'd like to get there and I don't want to get in a car, so how do I do that now? And so, like I said, that's kind of the nature of a pilot, is it's new stuff for everybody and we're going to see how it works.
And how are we promoting it?
I'm not. Somebody else can help us.
You just toss it in the bus? Yeah, when I Googled it, other cities pop up because other cities are doing this. And when I tell people about it, they go, no, that's not how it works. I go to the bus stop. I said, no, this is, forget that. That's the old thinking. You got the bus stop, there is no bus stop. I mean, you got to go to, you know, wherever they tell, whatever street corner. And everybody I tell goes, no, the bus, see the sign here? This, that's where you go. I said, it's different now. This is.
And I think, honestly, how microtransits work depends upon, because there is no book. You know, there is no book on microtransit, and microtransit I've seen defined and executed a number of different ways in the few cases that it's been done. It's really is kind of cutting edge transit right now. In our case, we are using the existing fixed route stops as virtual stops. I mean, they're not virtual, they are physical stops, but they will also be part of the microtransit system. But there will be other, what they call virtual stops. I mean, there's no sign, no bench, no shelter, no trash can. You know, the app will just direct you to a landmark, and that's where you'll wait for the bus. So it won't be, like I said, it won't be like Uber where they'll come to wherever you hit your app. The app's going to direct you to a point in less than a quarter mile of a walk, quarter mile walk. Then obviously there'll be different provisions if someone logs, goes onto the app and says, I'm a wheelchair user, or I have some other mobility issue, then that will change a little bit. Then we'll come more curb to curb for those folks. So,
brilliant idea.
It'll be interesting.
How does the public, how will they know to participate? Like, do they sign up for it, or is it?
You do have to download the app. So there is that kind of pre-involvement. One of the parts of this whole thing, and I was being a smart aleck when I said not me, but our communications manager will be working on getting a marketing program and a rider education program going here in the weeks leading up to the kickoff.
And when was that going to be open? When is the target date for the public?
July 1, would start with the fiscal year.
Can you share the name of the app that you plan to use?
So it's provided by a company called Rideco, who currently provides our paratransit app. It's going to be branded, their app is currently branded, I think LCTADA, I think. That's going to get rebranded as just either LCT or perhaps LCT on demand. I don't know if that's 100% settled yet, because the same app will be used by both paratransit and microtransit users. If you're a paratransit user, a registered paratransit user, your service area will be the entire paratransit service area. Mm-hmm. If you're a microtransit user, your area will just be the microtransit
pilot area.
Yep.
That's cool. I think this is a cool concept.
Yeah. I think it is too. I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes, and you know, and if it does work, the, you know, the possibility of expanding it. I mean, the 7 to 7 Monday through Friday kind of broke my heart a little bit. I mean, I'd love to see 10 or 11 o'clock on a Friday and Saturday night, because
you think
in a place like Leesburg, but you know, but the pilot, you know, pilot is what a pilot is, and you know, you kind of have to start there and then, you know, see how it goes. So.
Baby steps.
Yep.
You said 7 to 7 weekdays.
Correct.
You mentioned bus stops, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Have we heard, have we seen anything on the horizon for improvements with these bus stops? I'm talking illumination, I'm talking communications to the public to let them know when their bus is coming, when it's not.
Yeah, so nothing concrete. It's one of those things that's on the list of things we want to do and get to doing. Now, one improvement project that is on the in process is adding shelters to bus stops, and that is being worked through. Our former department DTCI is, are they in construction or are they still in design and acquisition on the first ones? Or,
well, a couple things. There are a number of bus, so all of the legacy bus stops are, have been evaluated and are in design. Some of them have been constructed for ADA improvements to make sure they all have landing pads and are accessible in that way. We have just forwarded over two groups of about 20 each of priority locations to install shelters. So that will start out in the design process, then it has to go through land acquisition. So their goal is to have agreements in place by the end of the year. And then it'll have to go to construction.
And I know that that the various shelters have maybe the route maps or something, but has there been any concept of even just on the street, hey, this is a Loudoun County bus stop pole, just adding a QR code that would take you to stop 19th and H Streets Northwest, next bus is coming?
Concepts, yes.
Okay.
And you know, there is definitely a recognition of the need to, and there is definitely a desire to bring better passenger amenities to the stops. Whether it's at the metro stations and perhaps going to digital signage, you know, versus the static posters that we have up now in shelters, to include all, you know, things like arrival times, to even the running stops out on the streets, being able to do, like you said, I mean, there are a number of solutions out there, you know, some systems that use text messaging, QR codes. You know, it's funny, one of the benefits or one of the good things that came out of the pandemic is everybody knows how to use a QR code now. I mean, I remember learning about those 2010 or earlier, when I was still in other places, and I thought that was really cool, but nobody used them. You know, some agencies had put them up and nobody used them. Well, it was kind of like you go to, you know, they say you go to a foreign country, you learn to speak the language or go hungry. Well, in 2020, you learned how to scan a QR code or you couldn't order dinner. So, you know, a lot of people know how to use QR codes now. So that's, I think, a very viable option that definitely, as a matter of fact, our signage at the metro shelters, if I'm now I'm talking, do contain a QR code.
Okay.
So you can walk up and scan it. It opens up this, it's a static schedule. Oh. The next enhancement would be to go to taking them to a
transit app or
yeah, and you know,
which bus time though?
Yeah, well, the bus time is still there. Mm-hmm. We are actually working on some enhancements to our real time information to the public. We are actually just in a meeting today to, without getting too deep in the weeds, getting into the GTFS, which is the General Transit Feed Specification real time feed, which puts out real time information on our buses to things like Google Maps. Which we are not currently live on Google Maps, we're static on Google Maps. But then that would also then open up more possibilities for things like, you know, next time, next bus information and stuff like that. So we're working through the progression.
And it's going to be implemented in the transit app. Something totally different.
Well, yeah, that the GTF SRT feed actually would expand this beyond the transit app, because right now the transit app uses our vendor proprietary data feed. The GTF SRT is more universal. So all the possibilities that opens up for us, we're going to find out. We're going to kind of explore that. It's basically just harnessing our existing data stream in a different way. So.
So there's, we can see improvements on the horizon.
I think so. I guess we can.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yep. Anybody have any other questions, comments, concerns, inputs? Don't be shy.
Oh, you have a comment, as usual?
Oh?
I have a comment, as usual.
Well, you know, it's always welcome.
So, while I was driving absenteeism on this board, right, I rolled 8 different transit systems. And we kind of used to thinking that, like, other is always better. And I have to tell you that Smart Trip is the best payment system I think.
Yes, it is.
It is just a miracle. It works across multiple jurisdictions. It works on different transit modes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to unlock the phone. It's honestly like best thing I have.
Mm-hmm. You have to make sure though that you have money on it.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, but still, given the alternatives, excellent thing.
Am I allowed to talk?
Well, we'll give you this alibi this one time, right?
Vancouver. I went to Vancouver. You just get on the bus to tap your debit card.
Same thing in New York.
Yeah.
I don't like them having access to my debit card.
Yeah, they can have access to it.
Yeah, we have. I mean, that's
certainly true. I have seen that, but it hasn't been consistent, and like. Again, speaking of like systems, so right, not just the theory. So let's say Malaga, Spain, right? Yes, you can do it on the bus, not on the metro.
Mm.
Right? Versus we here have one thing for everything.
Very nice.
Or Ottawa, right? They also like at the border of jurisdictions, 2 separate bus systems, 2 separate payment systems, uncoordinated schedules. One is very helpful, one is rude. And so like again, like it's, but you know, I know what you're talking about. It's
spoiled.
As a point of curiosity, again, pretty often in Spain, right, you have one price for what you described when you tap a credit card, different price when you get a transit card and use that. Have a spread as wide as 2 euros for card, 40 euro cents for a transit card.
Wow.
Yeah, yay, we're doing something right. Yay, yeah, DC.
Keep up the good work.
Steve, could I ask Stephen a question?
Oh, sure. It was open to question. Go right ahead.
In terms of data, does it exist to know which are the most popular stops? Where are the destinations that people are going to?
Yes.
Or local system?
Yes, we do have. At this point, we just completed the installation of 14 more automated passenger counters, which when we were in the planning for that installation, we were saying was making us 100% installed. But since we're having to bring some of those coaches back that were put out of service, we're no longer 100% installed. So we're going to have to see about possibly installing those. But our local buses, actually, our local bus system is 100% APC installed. So we are gathering that data, it can be used. As a matter of fact, it's feeding that shelter improvement plan. Those packets of 20 stops that get sent over to DTCI are prioritized using a scoring tool that a consultant built for us. And one of the feeders to it is the stop level ridership data.
Yeah.
Don't ask me off the top of my head what the single most popular stop in the system is. There's only about 400 and some odd of them. So, but yes, we can And that's again, one of those data things that, yes, it's starting to improve. And as that system, we've really spent a lot of time over the past 2 years really trying to get our data systems whipped into better shape. And they're in better shape now than they have been since I've been here. We actually had a young man working with us who unfortunately just left for another position as a data analyst. And as he taught us, there are really two parts of data, and that is data processing and then data analysis. Mm-hmm. And he was looking forward to doing a lot of data analysis with us, and then found out first we had to do a lot of data processing first. So, but he really moved us along a great deal, and we're really kind of able to start getting away from our myriad of Excel spreadsheets. So that passenger counting system actually is next on the target list to really start making it better. So we got to get a new data analyst on board who can really focus in on it.
So the bus that I ride that takes me to the Ashburn mm-hmm. station that has a passenger counter on it?
It should, yep.
That's why last week I went. Stop. I live in the 55 plus condos on Windward. Stopped right there. Great stop. I got on, and then I just wanted to come back.
Right.
And this, and I knew why she was telling me to get off the bus and come back on, because if you wanted an off and an on.
Yeah, I didn't think the drivers were that cognizant of it, but okay.
That's, I knew why.
Right.
Only because, you know, someone might think she was rude. I knew why, because I'm one of these animals that knows transport.
Right.
But
that's funny.
I just smiled and thanked her and had told her to have a nice night.
And it's funny, circumstance like that, not to get too deep in the weeds, but when I talk about getting the data system into shape, there are business rules that should address that. You know, when the system recognizes there's still somebody on the bus at the mm-hmm. endpoint,
yeah.
when it leaves, if they're still on, assign them again to the next trip. So take that one inbound and then they make a one on the outbound. But those are all post-processing type business yeah. rules that you then have to go through quite studiously and painfully and make sure that they're actually processing correctly and not giving you bad data. And that's really where we are on the passenger counting system. And that's why that was going to be Brian's really next major task, was to just do the deep dive into that every single day and start finding the anomalies and the fixes and working on that. So that's going to be one of our next big focuses for our data process.
You think AI might be able to help you guys out?
I have no idea. Yeah. According to the AI people, yeah, it'll solve all our problems. But yeah, I would suspect there's probably some function there. I just, you know, how that applies next, we'll have to see. You know, one of the things with us with data gathering and data usage is Federal Transit Administration reporting. And AI probably won't be in the game at all until FTA says they're okay with, you know, it somehow being involved in that data gathering. I can't imagine it's going to have too great a foothold, because if, you know, if I can't use the data for FTA, then the data is useless. So it'll be interesting how that comes into play.
All right. Any other questions, comments? I think this has been a very, very productive and informative meeting. I'm happy that everybody got a chance to participate and, you know, provide their valuable inputs. We'll miss you if you're leaving before the next meeting, but the next meeting would be July 9th. You're going to be here still? Yes. Well, I'll see you at the next July meeting.
May come as a just be a member of the public, and then I can harangue the board.
Just make sure you're signing.
Yeah. Her DC East routes back.
Okay. Oh my God. Capital agent.
Yeah, make sure. Yeah. Make sure you're signing.
Yeah, yes. They'll run you over in that MC.
Sorry, do you have anything?
Yeah, if
you made the announcement that the next meeting is July 9th.
Yes, ma'am.
It'll be here in this office at 209 Gibson Street, Northwest, Suite 100, please, Brian.
Outstanding.
And motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
All right. All in favor? I'm going home.
Right.
All opposed, want to stay here?
You don't.
Thank you all.
Stay.
Thank you all for coming.
My pleasure. I will tell you that.
Oh, my.
We don't have.
Like, what can that?
Transit. Enthusiast. Into transit. The pleasure meeting. I'm a long time present, so you're like.
Oh, I mean.
I want to.
So. Happy.
And here's.
Day, everybody.
We absolutely recognize, you know.